The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance, with your host, Phyllis Valois. Phyllis is here to help you become whole, using all of the gifts that she has acquired over the years with divine guidance, compassion, and understanding in a non-judgmental way. We hope the next hour will empower you to find out more about your gifts of intuition as well. Now, here is Phyllis Valois.
Hi, everyone. And welcome to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance. And I am talking to you today from the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. It is one of my absolute favorite cities in all of Canada. It's on the West Coast. And I am talking to you from a hotel room that overlooks Stanley Park. I see a beautiful bridge called the Lions Gate Bridge. I see mountains. I see water. I see trees. And Vancouver, British Columbia is a place where my soul gets replenished. Whenever I visit here, because of the water being, having the proximity to the water, to the ocean, the proximity to the mountains and the trees, it really nourishes and rejuvenates my soul. It is a place that one day I hope to live. It is just magnificent. It's a city that feels alive. And I don't know, I can't describe it. It's a feeling I can't describe, but I just love it here. And I never thought I would ever say that because it's a city where there is also an enormous amount of rain. And it can be quite gloomy at some times. But there's beauty in everything, even in the gloom. And I just love it here. So just so you know, there may be some background noises. I am facing the Burrard Inlet, and it's a working harbor. There are freighters that go by, cargo ships that go by. There are yachts. There are float planes that come and go, that land and leave. So I apologize for any exterior noise. I've tried to make this as quiet as I possibly can, but just so you know that if you hear some outside noise, there is absolutely nothing that I can do about that, as I am in the heart of a working city. And today, I will be talking about a few different things, but there is just one more little thing that I'd like to share with you. On this Saturday, my beautiful niece is getting married, and I'm so proud of her. She's a little angel that was given to our family. I only have one niece on my side, so this is a very, very special occasion for her. And I wish her and her partner, her future husband, all the best. And I'm so proud of the woman she has become. So congratulations, Mel, and I can't wait to see you. And I am also very privileged to be a part and to assist in the celebration of your marriage. So now, as to today's topics, it's going to be interesting today because I have chosen to talk about death and dying. And one of the reasons why I have chosen this is my family has been affected by 7 losses in the last year and a half, including my mother, as I have been talking about. The latest one being just 3 weeks ago, I lost one of my father's sisters, as I have probably mentioned as well. And I have had many experiences with loss and with grieving and with loved ones passing over. So I figured that I would share some of the input and the experiences that I've had and how we can look at this topic without it being morbid and what we can do to prepare for our own passing. The most important thing is that your loved ones know that you love them. That is the most important gift that you can give to your loved one today and every day, is to tell them and show them that you love them. Often we get so busy with our lives, we don't think that something tragic could happen to us. So I make sure that I tell my sister, I tell my husband, I tell my puppy, I tell everybody I love that they are loved and that they are important to me. So I will not have the regret of not having said it. And it's one of the most important things. Now, some of the resources that I've used besides my own experiences are the book, The Needs of the Dying. It's a guide for bringing hope, comfort, and love to life's final chapter by David Kessler. That book is absolutely amazing, and I will be referring to a couple pages in there that could be beneficial for you if you have a loved one that is in the final phase of their life, and it can help you recognize the last signs. I'm not going to go through all that because it's quite intense, but if you are someone who is losing a loved one, I would recommend that you read that book. It is very, very helpful, and it makes the transition a little bit easier because you know the steps of what happens to a body as it is going through that process. So that is an amazing book. And another book that I've really enjoyed is by Bronnie Ware. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And you'll see, they're pretty interesting. Bronnie Ware is a person who works as a caregiver for the people who are dying. And I will list the 5 top regrets of the dying as they have been told to her. Now, some of the information presented comes from the resources above, and some are from my own experiences. And believe you me, I've had many. Now, here are Bronnie Ware's 5 regrets that the dying have. Regret number one is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. How many of us are doing things because that's what's expected of us, not what our heart desires? And I believe that all of us in some way or form are doing this. We're living the life that our family or our spouse or expects. We have high expectations, and it can be hard to break off and be who you really are and do what you really want to do. We have high mortgages. There's high debt loads, you know. Children, expectations that children have, their wants and needs. The other one, regret number 2, is, I wish I hadn't worked so hard, and that goes along with that. We often work hard to provide for our families, and we forget to take time for ourselves and to pursue the things that bring us joy in our life. It's not all about material things. You have to find a balance between the wants and the needs. And even if you don't have the $1 million house or the high-end vehicle, or your kids aren't in boarding schools or in private schools, you have to weigh every part of your life. What's important to you? Is working so hard bringing me any joy? And I really liked that, the person that she interviewed for that, because this is a man who had worked incredibly hard all his life, and all of a sudden he got sick, and it made him realize that he hadn't done anything but work. So it's important to find a balance between your wants and your needs and working and really truly living your life. Regret number 3 is, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And as I told you before, tell your loved ones you love them. When something isn't right, say so. Talk about it. Talk about your feelings. Resolve the issues. Don't bury them. And I am a person who is famous for having buried her feelings. So find the courage to tell your loved ones. And don't be afraid to tell them what's happening with you if you're having issues. And don't be afraid of telling your loved ones if you do have medical issues. Don't try and protect them. They need to know, and the sooner that they do, the easier it will become for them to face it. It's easy for us to want to run away when faced with events in our lives that can be difficult and challenging and also very emotional. So I really like that one too. Regret number three. Regret number four is I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And once again, our lives get so busy, we get wrapped up in our family and what our family's doing. We're running here, we're doing that, we're going to work, we're running our kids to whatever activities they have, and we lose touch with our friends. And it's very important to have balance in your life. So you need a certain amount of family time, you need a certain amount of personal time, and you need a certain amount of time with friends to laugh together, to you know, even if it's just going out for a cup of coffee. It's really important, and I believe that having friends helps bring balance back into your relationship or your relationships. So please take the time to stay in touch with your friends, because that's regret number four. And regret number five is I wish I had let myself be happier. And the thing is that we choose how to look at life. We choose whether or not we're going to be positive or whether or not we are going to be negative. If we're going to be happy, we're looking at everything with sadness. So we choose this. So regret number five, I wish I had let myself be happier, is really appropriate. You can find joy in the smallest thing, in the beauty of a flower, in the whisper of the wind through the leaves. It's all in how you see things. So I really, really love this list of five things, and I definitely am trying to make changes in my life so that I do not have these top five regrets when it comes to be my time to pass on or to cross over. And Bronnie is an end-of-life caregiver, and the following words, or the preceding words, come from her many experiences accompanying people through the last moments of their lives. And I really, really, really would regret, not regret, but would encourage you to look at that book. It's very interesting. Now, as I said before, one of the most important things that you can do is tell your loved ones that you love them. If fences need to be mended, if your relationships need to be mended, try and do so, so that when the time comes for your passing or their passing, there are no regrets. It's so easy to get caught up in family dynamics and family feuds. I know people who have lost, for example, their mother, and who never had the opportunity, first of all, to say goodbye or to have any last minutes with them. And you can have so many regrets after, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I should have made more time, or you realize how important they are and how petty your feuds really are. So please try and mend your fences with your loved ones. Now, I've prepared a little, kind of not a list, but some advice for you on how we can prepare for losing a loved one. Now, I have lost both my father and my mother. And this information comes more from when my mother was passing and the things that I noticed and experienced. And just so you know, my father passed 10 years ago in September, and my mother is just, it was a year in July. And where I am spiritually and intuitively is very different from when my father passed, although we had some wonderful experiences with his passing as well. And just know that the most common, the common thing that we want to do is not be there. We don't want to be there when our loved one passes. And I was that way with my father. I would have given any amount of money to be anywhere else on the world than to be there to help him through the last days of his life. But in finding the courage, they were also, yes, scary, but they were also the most beautiful moments that we shared with our father. And the same is true with our mother. Although she chose that I would not be there, and I knew this, the days before her passing were incredibly amazing. And like I said, some of the information that I'm going to be presenting to you comes from that experience. One of the most important things is to remember to treat your loved one with respect and dignity, and know that even though they are comatose, they can hear everything that is happening around them. They may not be able to talk to you, but they definitely hear, as it is one of the last senses to go. So please be careful. If you are talking with a doctor, please leave the room and come back after you have had a discussion, or when speaking with relatives, don't do it in front of them. Talk to them, touch them, hold their hands. There's no substitute for physical touch, except when medication makes their body toxic and they can't tolerate any touch. My father was like that in his last moments of passing. Before he passed, we could not touch him anymore. It was too painful. The medication had become toxic. Talk about their wishes. Ask them what they would like to know, you know, what they would like, how they would like things to proceed after they pass. Listen to their ramblings. And by ramblings, I mean some of the things that they may say make absolutely no sense at all. Our mother was seeing weddings taking place in her room. She was seeing horses racing. And we're like, what? But we just went along with it. And she was reliving her past. So they may be experiencing things like that. So don't be freaked out by it. Just say, okay, just go along with it. And it's very real to them. They are actually seeing that. And just support them with that. Listen to their stories. You may have learned to have a deeper understanding of your loved one. There will be things that you didn't know about them that may come up. Our mother shared so many things, and we have such a different appreciation of her because of these stories that she shared with us. Be prepared to make difficult decisions for their greater good. For example, cutting back on meds and just keeping them comfortable. Their physical needs. Be their advocate. Speak for them when they can't. Be compassionate. Put yourself in their shoes and think of how you would want to be treated. The process of dying can be a short one, or it can be an extremely long one, taking several months. And don't be afraid to talk and share what's happening through the whole process. The more you talk and share, and yes, even show your emotions, such as crying, it can be so beneficial to you. We laughed with our mother. She made us laugh for 2 days straight. We cried with our mother. So please, please, please share your feelings, and don't be afraid to show your emotions in front of them. And also, some loved ones need permission before it's time for them to cross over. Every one of you in your family may have to tell them. So be prepared for that. It's really important. And it's also very difficult to do. So we will be taking a short break, and I will continue with my little list of how to prepare for our own passing or a loved one's passing after the break. If you would like to call in, the number is 1-866-472-5795, and I would love to speak with you today. Thank you. This is Phyllis Valois. Be back after the break.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. If you are looking to shift from struggle to a life of alignment with your deepest truth, you'll want to tune in to Thresholds to Awakening with host Sway Emily Spilkin. Our program will help you discover that your deepest challenges are not mistakes, but opportunities to become who you really are. Thresholds to Awakening. Enter your darkness to find your light, where Sway speaks with spiritual luminaries, cutting-edge thought leaders, and experts in the field of transformation. Listen live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with Phyllis Valois. To reach our program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you may send an email to phyllis@elemental-balance.ca. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. Before our break, we were talking about how to prepare for losing a loved one, what we can do to help make their last moments before they exit as pleasant as they possibly can be, and advice for ourselves too. And this comes from my many experiences with death and dying, including losing both my father and my mother. Now, I was just talking before about being prepared to make difficult decisions. We will talk a little bit more about how that can be done in a few moments. Another thing that we need to do is to be compassionate. Imagine how we would feel if we were in their position. And I know this is difficult depending on how long the process goes on. And we can tend to get very tired. It can take many months for certain people and other people just days. So we have to forget about our own needs and just focus on what's happening for them and how scared they may be. Now, some, as I said, some loved ones need permission and to be told that it's okay for them to cross over. Sometimes each one of member of the family will have to say it. Sometimes just one person is enough to know that it's okay. Now, one of the most important things that we all need to do to be prepared, it doesn't matter how old you are. I had my first will probably at the age of 22. So there's nothing morbid with having a will. It's just protection so that if something happens to you, your loved ones know your wishes. And it's incredibly important if you have a will when you have young children, because you have to think about their guardianship, who will take care of your children. And yet, none of us ever thinks that anything will happen when we're that age. You know, we're all invincible, but we never know when an accidental death could happen. Now, it's important to have also a living will, a personal directive. A personal directive is something that gives the medical professionals a document that states that you do not wish to be resuscitated if you should be dying. An enduring power of attorney, which gives your family, a member of your family or a friend or a lawyer, power to take over your estate. and a last will and testament. And this will make things a lot easier for both for yourself and for your family, and especially with a hospital, because medical doctors or medical professionals are taught that they are to preserve life at all costs. And if you have an enduring power of attorney appointing an advocate, and if you have a personal directive with the information that with your wishes, then it makes it a little bit easier. And doctors are taught to fight for your life. And they're also afraid of malpractice suits. And just a very special and important note that everyone in the family, every member of the family must agree with the personal directive. If one person disagrees in the family, then the personal directive may not be enforced. So please be aware of that. Talk with your family and be sure that you have all that straightened out. Another thing that can really help your loved one who is getting ready to cross or is in the last phase of their life is to bring in clergy for whichever religion you are. Sometimes just talking with someone else besides the family can bring great comfort to them. My mother saw our Catholic priest, I'm sure, about 4 or 5 times in the process before she passed. And it brought her great solace to pray with him and to talk with him without us being present. So they feel different talking to a religious professional. So if your parents or you wish to have clergy, please tell your children and your family, because it can bring a lot of comfort to you. And don't forget about the children in your life. Prepare them for the upcoming passing. Explain it to them in a language that they will understand. Involve them in the process. The more you explain, the easier it will be for them when the passing or the exit happens. And I know this from personal experience. I lost my paternal grandfather when I was 5, and my grandmother chose to exclude me from everything. And I didn't understand where he had gone, what had happened to him. And I was very upset with her for years and years after, because I didn't get to say goodbye. And probably the next show, or in a future show, I want to talk about how we can help children through this grieving process and what can be done to make them accept it more readily. Now, David Kessler, in his book, The Needs of the Dying, describes a few things on page 122 that are pretty important pertaining to children. And one of the most important things is that you need to watch your language when you're telling them about death. I've written down a couple examples for you so that you can understand what I mean. How language and how you phrase things is incredibly important. For example, if you tell them that your loved one has gone to sleep, they may become afraid to go to sleep because they think that they won't wake up either. So please be careful. Another one is that death is darkness and nothingness. They may become afraid of the dark because there's nothing in the dark, and it can be really scary. Or that their loved one is going on a really long trip, and then that will lead them perhaps to believe that they have been abandoned. So please watch your language when you talk to children, but don't exclude them. Have them make a little drawing for their loved one. Please don't exclude them from the funeral process or the celebration of life process. It's really important for closure and for them to understand what happens when a person decides to leave or to exit, as we all will be doing this at some time or another. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, on page 138, in his book, The Need for the Dying, David Kessler describes the steps that a body goes through in its final hours of life. And I found that really reassuring, because it can be scary because the breathing changes, the skin color will change, to give a couple examples, as well as many other things that happen. So when you know what to expect, it's a lot less scary. Believe you me, I know. He also suggests that death and dying isn't always painful. It depends on what you are dying from. For example, from pneumonia or certain types of cancer. And one of the most important things as well is to make sure that your loved one is comfortable, that they don't have to have pain. They don't have to be in pain. So talk with them frequently and assess what their pain level is. And that way it can be monitored, and they don't have to go through all that for nothing. And we can be also proactive in preparing for our own passing by making our wishes known, having all our legal documents ready, and most importantly, having a last will and testament that explains the guardianship of minor children. Those are just some of the experiences I've had. Now, in the last probably 6 months, it's even probably less than 6 months, in March of this year, I lost a cousin to accidental death. She was run over in the parking lot at her work and died instantly. Now, as an intuitive and a medium, I was incredibly shocked myself to hear about that, and had I was very fearful and very tearful and very emotional over this particular death. When it's somebody who's elderly or who has been sick, it's a different thing than having somebody pass in an accidental death. And it doesn't matter what age. There are many people that succumb to accidents when they're little kids. So oftentimes we don't even have time to say goodbye, or they'll leave and you'll have had a fight and all of a sudden they're in an accident and that's it. So that's why I keep saying, please tell your loved ones that you love them and how you feel about them, because you never know what could happen, right? Not that I want to live in fear and be fearful, but just tell them it's important. And know that we write out our life plan before we are born, including how, when, where, and with whom we will pass. These are my beliefs. I am not saying that everybody will believe the same thing as I do, but this is what I believe. And I also believe that if you lose a loved one in an accidental death, this is how they chose to exit in their life plan that they have written before they have come. And I believe that's what happened with my cousin. Knowing her and knowing how she was fearful of sickness and dealing with hospitals and the whole funeral process, I know that this is how she would have wanted to go. So that brought me some solace. A good thing to do when you've experienced an accidental death is to find good grief counselors or groups to help you move through your grief. Don't forget to get help for your children. Don't forget the kids, and we often do. As I know, I was left to deal with all this, these many, many, many passings on my own. And like I said, it started when I was 5, and I've been going through many as time goes on, and including 7 in the last year and a half. So it's really important that if your children are grieving, or if the person who has passed is very, very close to them, for example, a mother, please, please find people. Please find counselors or groups to help your children. Another thing that's really important is not to create shrines. And what I mean by shrines are having pictures or creating, keeping a room where, say, your child was before they died, and keeping everything the way it was when they left for years and years and years. please try not to do that. It's not healthy, and it doesn't allow the deceased loved one to move on and to accomplish what they need to on the other side. It can trap them there. Try not to get consumed by grief. Take it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, or a moment at a time if need be. And it's normal to feel shocked and incredulous and to ask, why did this happen now? To feel like you can't go on without them. We are very resilient, and we find the strength that we need to, but take it an hour, a minute, or a moment at a time if you need to. Allow yourself to be comforted by your family, friends. Share memories together of the person who has passed. Laugh, cry, feel your emotions. Know that they're not far away. The veil between the other side and here is very thin. They are often with us. So know that. Do not be afraid. And I like to think of the funeral process as a celebration of life rather than a funeral and it being somber. It should be, these are my opinions, okay? I'm not saying that everybody should do it this way. I just find it's a celebration of life is a way to honor that person's life and to all they've accomplished and invite people to share their memories. We found out things about our mother that we didn't know, how she had impacted some of the cousins and our cousins, and it was so beautiful. And I don't think it should be somber. Yes, there should be some sense of somberness, I guess, if that's a word, but it should also be looking at the life the person lived and what they accomplished and who they may have touched. Okay, and now my beliefs are that no one leaves here alone, that we are accompanied by our deceased loved ones on the other side, by Archangel Michael and Archangel Azrael, and many other angels. There can be many of their deceased loved ones or our deceased loved ones with us when we pass, or there can be just one. And I also believe that before this happens, our deceased loved ones come and visit. Our mother kept talking about people that we knew were on the other side, but to her, they were there with her. So she saw many, many, many different deceased loved ones before she passed. And also some members of the family can choose to exit first so they can come back and accompany a sibling. For my father, it was his little sister Agnes who passed before him, 6 months before him, and then he followed. So we believe she was there to help him. And then for my mother, it was her sister Betty who passed in December, and then my mother in the following July. So, and we know that Betty was definitely there to help her cross. Now, this is a fascinating and diverse topic. We all have our own opinions on this matter of death and dying. Maybe because of our religious backgrounds, our cultures, or our own beliefs. The opinions that I've shared here are from my own experiences with death, and I believe they will be beneficial to you, even if you really aren't ready to think about this. So we will be taking again a short break. If you'd like to call in, it's 1-866-472-5795. Please check out my website at www.elemental-balance.ca. Or if you wish to reach me by email, it's Phyllis, Phyllis, at elemental-balance.ca. And we'll be back after a short break to talk about Archangel Raphael.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
At- Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
In times of personal transformation and growth, sometimes you need assistance to help set you on the right path. Angela Bushman provides that assistance. Tune in each week for her show, Shine Your Light. With Angela's guidance, you can identify and overcome your fears, learn to let go, and share the joy of authentic living. Angela leads by example and invites you to join her on this path of discovery. Shine Your Light with Angela Bushman is heard live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are listening to Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with Phyllis Valois. To reach our program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you may send an email to phyllis@elemental-balance.ca. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Phyllis talking to you from the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia. I have the privilege of being able to see the Burrard Inlet. I see sailboats. I've seen float planes coming in for landings, float planes taking off, tour buses in Stanley Park. And for me, this is one of God's magical places. I absolutely love here, and my soul, my body, soul, and spirit rejuvenates every chance that I get to visit this beautiful city. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is a city where I would love to live one day. I feel alive here. It's beautiful and special. Now, we will be talking about Archangel Raphael. He is the archangel that I've chosen to share with you this week. He is one of the archangels that I work with basically pretty much on a daily basis, if not a daily, a definitely every second day or every third day. He is often in my mind and one of the archangels that I call upon, that I invoke when I need some guidance or some help, or if I need some help with healing. The resources that I've gotten my information from are Archangels and Ascended Masters by Doreen Virtue, The Angel Bible by Hazel Raven, and Archangels 101 by Doreen Virtue as well. These are wonderful resources to learn more about how angels and archangels and Ascended Masters can benefit us in our daily lives. Now, just a bit of background information about Archangel Raphael. His name means God heals, or that is his task, his duty. He heals. He is a green ray, or his green ray is emerald green. That is his color. His focus is healing and harmony. He works with our heart chakra. His element is air, bringing balance. Balances our experiences as unconditional love for others and ourselves. His crystal is, of course, the emerald or gemstone. Crystal gemstone isn't the emerald. His halo color is emerald green. And you can use the following essential oils to invoke or to call upon Archangel Raphael for help with specific problems. And they are carnation, chamomile, clove, juniper, lavender, lemon, mimosa, neroli, palmarosa, pine, rosado, sandalwood and spearmint. And we have a caller from Alberta. I am wondering if we can be patched through to, I believe it's Jean. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Mm-hmm. Very good. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, well, thank you. That's wonderful to hear.
Yes, and I was wondering if, I know you're talking about Raphael today, if you could do a reading for me with a card from Raphael.
Unfortunately, I do not have Raphael's deck with me.
Oh, well, you can choose any deck.
Okay. If you would give me a moment, I will just pick a card here. And this is the card that I picked for you today. It's Healing Heart, and it's from the Mermaid and Dolphin deck. And, of course, Raphael is about healing, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And the Healing Heart card is, it looks like a mother with a child or another smaller person. And it says, you are a powerful healer. Keep up the great work. So I believe that Archangel Raphael is guiding you in helping others, help heal others in whichever way is right for you. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you care to share a little bit about how you feel that you have a healing heart?
Well, you were talking about death and dying, and I was a teacher, and I had a little boy at school. His grandfather died, and he was not allowed to go to the funeral because it was quite a ways away in Quebec. And when he finally, his parents came home, they had a few of the grandpa's ashes, and it traumatized this little boy. So I worked with him for about a year. I found him a book on death, and then I made him a little diary, and he could write to his grandpa whenever he needed to leave the classroom. If he was sad or something, he'd come and see me. And it took about a year and a half, and then he felt a lot better, and he could feel, he could speak to his grandpa from his room. So I think I helped this little boy in his grief. Yeah.
Well, that's really wonderful. What a beautiful testimonial. And as I mentioned, I will be talking more in detail in probably the next show about how we can help children, and that's a really wonderful way. By making him understand, and even though it took a year, you did some wonderful work. So great, that's wonderful. Did you have any other questions for me today?
No, that's it. I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you for keeping up the good work and informing us about many things that are so inspiring to many of us. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That was Jean from Alberta. Thank you very much, Jean, for sharing your insight about how you helped a little one cope with his grandfather's passing when he was unable to attend. That was a really heartwarming story. And I'm sure that you've helped a lot of other people, not just children, as they go through challenges in their life. So keep up the great work. That's wonderful. Now getting back to some more information about Archangel Raphael, and that's wonderful that you asked about him too. He's really special to me. So his planet is Mercury, and his zodiac, the person or the zodiac sign he works primarily with is Gemini, and of the four seasons, his season is spring. His direction is east. He's the Archangel of Healing. He goes wherever he is called to help heal, but he can't interfere with free will. So if you can invoke him, you can call upon him to go help someone, a friend or a family member, but it is their free will whether or not they accept his help. And he helps us heal ourselves to find our inner guidance, love, compassion, balance, and an inspiration to heal others. And what I like about him is if he can't heal us, he helps guide us to someone who might. So he helps both traditional and alternative healers. And he's a healer and guide for wildlife and domesticated animals. So if you have a little animal, a little pet that is having problems, you can invoke Archangel Raphael. That is part of his duties, to take care of the animals as well. And I have a huge, great big spot in my heart for animals of all types. And he uses an emerald green light. That's how he does his healing work. And in doing Archangel clearings, like angel clearings with Archangel Michael, I see him use a green healing salve, like a lotion, but it's emerald green, to cover when you cut etheric cords or any of the angel clearings. And he usually does his healing work at night when we are asleep. He's also the Archangel for travelers. So ask for his help so that you have a positive travel experience, so that everything goes smoothly at the airport, that you get your luggage quickly, that your hotel reservation is perfect, everything, and also, to keep you safe while you're away. So he's really amazing, and I call upon him whenever I travel, and usually things go pretty good. He uses green because it equalizes, calms, and relaxes. He encourages personal growth by bringing harmony to our lives. He keeps our mental and physical energy balanced. He's attuned to nature, the Devic kingdom, and the realm of the elementals. He has a ray of great healers and healing. He helps eliminate and reduce addictions and cravings. He helps us with clairvoyance, our eyesight, both physical and spiritual. He helps us with guidance, and he provides support for healers. He helps us retrieve lost pets. So if your pet has run away or disappeared, just call on Archangel Michael. You can call on Michael, but definitely Raphael to help you find your pet. He clears our spaces, our homes. He does spirit releasement, and he's one of the most wonderful archangels that you could ever work with. As I mentioned, I call upon him on a daily basis to help me heal myself and to guide me so that I can help others heal themselves. And that is Archangel Raphael. Now, for the last few moments of the show, I would like to do a quick goddess guidance oracle card reading. And let's see, the card that I picked today is Hathor, and it's receptivity. Now, Hathor is the beloved Egyptian goddess who is represented by the head of a cow to symbolize the sacred animal's life-giving milk and mothering. Hathor is benevolent sky and sun goddess who helps with all aspects of child conception, birthing, and raising. Call upon Hathor to guide you in nurturing yourself and your loved ones. So the card that I have received here is Hathor and receptivity. And the message on the card is, allow yourself to receive. This will increase your intuition, energy, and ability to give to others. Often one of the hardest things for most people is to allow yourself to receive. In my case, I find it so much easier to give to people than to receive. And an example is, I have often sung for weddings, and after the wedding I've been told, oh my goodness, you have such a beautiful voice. And I would always say, oh, no, it's nothing, you know. And I had to learn to say thank you, to learn to receive compliments and to be told that I had done something good or that they had enjoyed my singing. It took me a lot of years to get over that and to to learn to say thank you. I love singing. The other thing, too, is in doing Reiki work. I used to do Reiki. And for me, it was always so much easier to give Reiki to people than to receive it. And even to this day, it's still something that I struggle with, this need to be able to receive. I would rather give than to receive. And it's something that I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggles for. And the message from the goddess Hathor about receiving is as follows from the little guidebook. You have a maternal side to you that naturally cares for those in need. Yet this must be balanced with receptivity or the flow is blocked. So if you can't receive, the flow to give is blocked as well. Receiving is the essence of feminine energy, and it means allowing yourself to receive with grace and gratitude. If you feel guilty when asking others for help, or if you feel bad about receiving gifts, then you block your feminine energy. Your receptivity is just as natural as your nurturing, giving energy. Receptivity allows you to better hear the voices of the angels. When you receive, you have more resources to give to others. Begin by noticing the hundreds of gifts you receive each day, whether it's seeing beauty in nature, witnessing a touching human moment, or being hugged by a loved one. Simply say thank you for each gift and know that they're fulfilling up your storehouse, keeping the divine flow going. And what I get from that as well is be grateful and say thank you for the things that, all the blessings that you have in your life. No one knows how long we are here for. And we should all try and strive to better ourselves in whichever way will make things more flow more easily for you. And with that, this is our show for the week. Next week, we will continue, as I didn't get through covering all my information. Just remember that the following statement can help you get through your week. Remember, I am God's perfect child. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. And thank you very much for the show today. Thank you to Jean from Alberta. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Elemental Balance, Soul and Spirit Guidance with your host, Phyllis Valois. We'll be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. This week, may your own soul and spirit guide you.